Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message. Thank you, Jesus, for all you're about to do and all you've done already and all the great things you have in store for us and who and all the things that you're laying bare today. Thank you so much, God, for this message. The crazy thing about it is before I started to preach today, I got really nervous. And I was like, oh, man, what if I mess it up? What if I just mess it all up? And then God's like, no, thank me now. So I'm like, thank you, God. Thank you for this message that you give me. And I'm thanking him now because the great thing about it is because I'm reading God's word today, because I'm opening up his word and reading it word for word the best that I can, I can't mess it up. I can't mess it up. Because his word is the word that changes you. What I say is great advice, and God uses me, and he changes things. But it's when you listen to his word, it's when that sinks down deep, that's what changes you, when it connects with the Spirit of God that's in you. And so I'm like, great, this is awesome. All the pressure's off me. Now you guys get to look at my beautiful face, my moneymaker. Some of you are like, oh, man, I'm getting sick. Never. As Pastor Hannah was saying, we are in the last message of our Jesus journey, his road series, and we're going to land it today. We're going to get into his word, and we're going to see him as he is. So I just want to thank you, God, for that. And just as we go in here, I just want to bless you all. We're going to be in Luke chapter 24 today. And we're going to be reading 13 through 35. It's going to be, some of you, this is going to be an older story. Some of you may have heard this. This is going to be your first time. But it's going to be awesome. And as you're turning there today, today's message is called The Most Amazing Adventure Yet with the Greatest Guide. Yes, yes. I was just thinking about this the other week, and I was like, God, what is the message that you want to give me to preach about? And I was so worried because I didn't get to preach before Easter, and that's like, oh, no, that's the end of the Jesus road. And he's like, no, it's not. It's not the end. The cross isn't the end. The cross isn't the end. It's just the beginning. What Jesus did when our key verse this month was when the days were approaching for his ascension, he resolutely set his face to go to Jerusalem. That's our key verse. He set his face. He was living his ministry out. Then at one point, he set his face and he went back because that's where he had to go. He set his face. He had his passion before him. He set his face on it. And he went to go to Jerusalem. That walk from where he was when he said that, I believe he was in Caesarea Philippi, which was in the northern part of Israel. So technically, you can't get any further north in Israel and still be in Israel. So he was up there when he set his face to go back to Jerusalem. He had to go that far because some of us think that we're beyond where he went, and you're not. Now he's walking back towards Jerusalem. But that walk, even though he walked with disciples, was a walk only he alone could take. He's the only one that could take that walk from where he was to the cross. But the road didn't end at the cross. And that's the great news. The cross was not the end of the journey for Jesus. It was just the end of the beginning. And now we're on it with him now. Beyond the cross is where the journey meets his and life's greatest journey begins. Do you understand that? When he got to the cross, he completed his journey of what he had to do so we now could walk with him. When you just sinks in, that is such a powerful thing. Now the great adventure of life of a spent with Jesus begins. Walking along our Savior and King as he guides us through life's valleys to the mountaintops. Adventure. I don't know about you guys, but I like adventure. I mean, you can't tell it by my physique. This guy doesn't look like he takes a lot of adventures other than to the refrigerator. But I do. I do like adventure. I like to go and do things. I like to walk around and see places. When I go somewhere, I like to venture out and to see great things and to see new people and new things in those areas. And I've made a list of some great adventurers of the past. One of those great adventurers was Marco Polo. Who's ever heard of Marco Polo before? We've heard a fair bit of that. Do you know how long his journey lasted? 24 years. 24 years. Well, at least I hope my math is correct. From 1271 to 1295. I think that's 24 years. I think so, although I don't have that many fingers and toes, so I can't count very high. Ferdinand Magellan, another guy, he was the first to circumnavigate around the world. Though that's kind of a misnomer, he's accredited with it, but he died along the way, so he didn't really make it. But he was a great adventurer, and some of the people on his boat made it all the way around the world. And that journey took a long time, too. That was from 1519 to 1522. So years on these great adventures. Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay. Anybody know who those guys are? Tenzing Norgay and Edmund Hillary. Those guys were the first to summit Everest in 1953. Great adventurers. They lived a life of great adventure. And Paul, he had many missions. He had many adventures all over his known world at the time. Oh, and when I think about that, I'm just like, God, I want to go on great adventures like that. I want to do something like that, just like Paul did, and go around and see the world, but show the world who you are. And after the cross, and when the stone was rolled away, we saw that the road that Jesus was on did not end, but it continued. And now we get to see where that journey begins. I'm going to read Luke chapter 24, 13 through 35. And as we go here, just think of all what these guys were going through, what these guys just encountered, and now who they're encountering. In verse 13 it says, "And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem." Man, that's kind of a long way to walk. "And when they were talking to each other about these things which had taken place, while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, 'What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?' And they stood still and looked sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem unaware of the things which have happened here these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, the things about Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and in word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. And indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. But also some of the women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels and said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women had also said. But they did not see him. And he said to them, Jesus talking now, he says, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going further. But they urged him, saying, stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went in and stayed with them. And he reclined at the table with them, and he took bread and blessed it. And breaking it, he began giving it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? Yes, Lord. And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, the Lord has really risen, and he has appeared to Simon. They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of bread. Ooh, yeah. Breaking those scriptures down. Ooh. See, these guys who knew Jesus now walking on the road, what they had just experienced, I can just imagine, you know, them talking to Jesus, them being around him, then they see him die on the cross, then they put him in the grave, then they have word that there might be hope that he is risen, he is not there. Just life being uprooted and upended. These men knew Jesus, who Jesus was and what happened to him, but it was surface level. He wants us to go deep with him so we can know him intimately. We need to know who we are traveling with to know the greatest guide. And that, yeah, didn't that hit? Like, when I was thinking about that, I was like, whoa. Because when you read his word, it says that they, you know, they were walking with him, but they couldn't see him. They couldn't see him. And I think sometimes we start off our journey because we see the cross. We know we need Jesus. We know we need him. And we call upon him to save us and take care of us. But that's where we stop. But it's more important. I mean, that is the most important thing. Get saved. Get born again. But the journey doesn't end there. His road from the top of Israel down to the cross didn't stop there. It continued. And your road with him doesn't just stop and begin when you accept him. It's more than that. It's a life spent with him. It's an adventure. It's a journey. But your journey will be amazing when you get to know who your guide is. If you don't know him, you're just following along and you don't understand the things that are going on in your life. You don't know the route you're taking. And sometimes when you take the route, you could step off and go somewhere else when the guy's like, don't go there, don't go there. But you don't know his voice because you don't spend any time with him. You don't recognize the guide. When we recognize the guide and know his voice and hear what he's saying, he's like, let me guide you. We'll get through this valley together. And I'll lead you to the mountaintop. These guys knew him at a surface level. They knew who he was because they said, this is Jesus. They said to him, the things about Jesus in Nazareth. He was a prophet in deed and word and sight and God and all the people. And then they're saying, what happened? He was betrayed. He was put in front of everybody and they said, crucify him. And they did. They knew him on a surface level. To get to know him beyond the surface level. That is what I want for you guys today, if you guys haven't done it already. And sometimes when we do it, it's to reinvigorate you to want to go after him even further and even farther and even more passionately. It says in Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Ooh. So what I'm saying here is sparking something inside you. Go, Jesus, I know you, but I want to know you. I want you to guide me. I don't want to go through just the humbum drum of life, just getting by and just doing this, just getting from Sunday to Sunday. If I can just make it back to church on Sunday, I know it'll be okay. If I can just make it through this day at work, I know it'll be okay. That's not what God wants for you. He wants you to live a life of passion and in fire and vigor. He wants you to see every morning and say, yes, God, I get to be with you today. I know we're going to change the world together. Those are exciting words that he wants for you. He just doesn't want you to wake up in the morning going, oh, man, I got to go to work, bro. That's not what God wants for you. Yes, work is great and good, and you should want to go there, but it's more than just making a paycheck. It's changing the world because he has you in certain places for a reason. He has you around certain people for a reason. And when we miss that, we miss everything because we don't see the guide because we can't hear his voice because we don't know him. But this is a great promise here. Jeremiah 29:13, where you will seek my face, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. When you search for him with all your heart, that's a promise from God. So your searching, your going after him is not in vain. You say, God, what if I put all this work in here? I don't see you. I don't see you. His promise to you is if you do that, you will see him. I remember for me, my story, back in 2010, I had a furniture shop business, and I was in my office one day. It was lunchtime, so I was listening to Chip Ingram, and I had listened to him before and in the message and stuff, and all of a sudden, he's like, there are people who are in God, but they're like almost not all in. Like they're born again and they love God, but it's like they're just going through the motions. And I was like, God, I don't want to go just through the motions anymore. I don't want to just, you know, come in and do my thing and you know, and things like that. Not that that's bad stuff, but I want a passion for you. I want to do what you want me to do. I want other people to know what you've done in my life, and I want you to do that for me. So I remember that day in 2019, it was in or 2010, it was in January. I got on my knees in my office by myself, and I said, Jesus, I am all in for you. I don't care what that means. I think sometimes we get scared and hindered because we're scared of the adventure that might be beholding for us. We think, oh God, if I follow you all this way, what if you bring me somewhere that's going to be dangerous? What if you bring me somewhere that's going to be embarrassing? What if you bring me somewhere and then I have to tell people about you and it's going to be really hard and I don't know if I want to do that? We've got to get past all of that. We've got to get to a point where we love him so much that it doesn't matter where he asks us to go, because I am so in love with him and I'm so on fire for him. To get past the mundane and the boring, to go into the adventurous life. And that does look different for everybody. Not everybody's adventure is the same adventure, but as long as you're on an adventure, that's what counts. I want more. What's keeping you back from that? What is keeping you back from wanting more of God? To take a second and really think about it and say, God, I really want to be passionate about you. I really want to change the world because you're with me. I really want you to be my guide in this life. I really want to hear your voice. I really want to see your face. I really want to do that. And not just mouth the words because other people around me. I want you guys to do this when you're by yourself. There's no pressure from anybody else. To sit before him and say, God, I am in this. I am with you all the way. And I don't care what it makes me look like. I don't care where you want me to go, because I want to go there because I know you love me and you have what's best for me. What is keeping you back? Like I was saying earlier, some of the things that's keeping us back is because we don't spend any time with him. We don't know him. And sometimes what's keeping us back is we start to concentrate on other things. This happened to me this week. I was getting ready for the message, and I write my notes down. I share them with Hannah. We talk about it. Then she's like, so that was Wednesday night, but Thursday I was going to like kind of clarify some things. And Thursday comes, and I just cannot for the life of me think about the message. Like, I tried. I know, like, everything I normally do. You know, like, go into the shower, because for some reason when I'm in the shower, all these thoughts come, and I can work out my message and things like that. Or I go to work, so I came here to the church, and I started vacuuming the sanctuary. And I'm like, God, what are you speaking to me about? Can you just clarify this message? Can you clarify it? And just nothing would come. And like that whole day, I was like, God, it just blanking on me all day, which never happens. So I tell Nat the next day, I'm like, I was thinking about this message all day yesterday. I just couldn't get it. I tried and I tried. And Nat looks at me a couple seconds later and she goes, well, God says there's a message in that. I'm like, what? And she's like, there's something in that, that what you went through the other day, there's something in it for people. And when I thought about it, it was because there was things distracting me. There was things distracting me. No matter what I did, it was like these things from outside were coming into my mind all the time. And it was like, you know, like the news and things around us. And I was like, I was really not worried, but I was like concerned about this. I was getting upset about that. So my mind just couldn't concentrate on what God had for me, because these things were like overwhelming me. And I was like, whoa. Then I saw it. Then God took over again. Then I could concentrate on the message. Sometimes we don't walk closely with him. We don't know the guide because we're not spending time with him. But other times, it's because we're spending too much time with something else. Taking our eyes off him. And sometimes what takes our eyes off him is the ordinary. This is one of the biggest dangers. The ordinary things. Like I said, I like going on adventures. And last year, for our anniversary, me and Nat went to Pennsylvania, and we went on this great adventure. We went to this place in Jim Thorpe where we rode a bike for 21 miles, which is a lot when you don't ever ride a bike. Then we went for a mile and a half walk, which doesn't seem like a lot, but we had to climb up this mountain that was like 1,000 feet above this gorge to look down where we were just at. Then when we got done with that, we took a 5.5 to 6 mile whitewater rafting trip, all in the same day. We love adventure. Then the next day when we get up, we went to Philadelphia, a city I've never been to, and we walked all over that beast. Then when we got back to the hotel, the next morning we went to Valley Forge and walked all over that. And if you've ever been there, that thing is enormous. That's miles and miles. So I like adventure. I like going on them. But I don't do that here. I mean, there's trails around my house. I mean, literally behind my house, there is the Dryden Rail Trail. Oh, boring. Oh, no. Oh, and the waterfalls. Everybody talks about the waterfalls. I'm like, okay, there's a waterfall. Thank you. We've seen them. The ordinary sometimes gets in the way of the adventure God wants you to have. Because we think it's going to be ordinary, we think it's going to be mundane, that we don't step out and take that adventure with Him. And that's what's holding us back. Because I believe there's adventures that on the surface level of it, we think is going to be boring and not going to go anywhere. But when we do it with Jesus, this mundane, ordinary journey turns into the greatest adventure you'll ever live. And there's a lie that says it's going to be the same, but it's not. It's going to be amazing. When we seek His face, when we get to know Him, we get to go more than just skin deep learning of our Lord. It says in Jeremiah 33:3, He says, "When you call to me, I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things you do not know." When we call on Him, when we seek His face and He reveals things, He shows us who He is, His ways, His nature. So when we see His nature, when we see His ways, we recognize it when we are growing to see it. We hear His voice, we become to recognize that even more. Because when He called you out of your old life and He called you in, He says, "Come to me, come to me." But when He speaks to you, when you're on the road with Him, sometimes it's very quiet. And everything else is screaming in the background. But He speaks to you and He says, "Come this way. Don't go there. Come with me." If you don't know how to hear it and you don't recognize His voice, going to keep on going where you don't want you to go. Know His voice. Seek His face. And also, as He reveals Himself to you, just as much as He reveals Himself to you, He reveals yourself to you. I didn't know who I was until I started spending time with Him. When He revealed Himself to me, I was getting revealed to me. The old hopes and dreams that I had are nothing compared to what He has for me and what He wants for me. So there is a hope and there is a future if you just seek His face and you go hard after Him. He reveals who He is. He transforms us. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, did I write this one down? It says, "Do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." I tried to rely on my notes, but you shouldn't do that. You should rely on the Holy Spirit, who told me it anyway. Be transformed. I'm not the same as I was back then. I am being renewed. I'm not the old self. I am the new self. Those things that I was before I knew him are not even as if they were. I am new. I have been made new. I have been transformed. And I'm being transformed even more because I'm spending time with him even more. Seek his face. Get a passion for him. It says we do this by spending time in his word, just like Jesus read this, told the scriptures to these guys on the road. It says when the scriptures were revealed and who he was in the scriptures, they later on say, weren't our hearts burning with inside us? That is a passion. Do you have a passion? What is your passion with God? What is your passion? There's a lot of stuff we do because we feel compelled, like I have to do this, I have to do this, out of fear, out of this, but that's not the way God wants it. He wants you to be passionate about him because you love him. He wants you to go out into a lost and dying world and tell them about the greatest story ever told because you have a passion for him. What's your passion? And as we close, you guys can rise real quick. I'm going to end right there. Ooh. Thank you, God, for letting me spend the next couple of minutes. We know that your road didn't end at the cross, Father God. It continued. And we know that we know enough about you to know that we need you, Father God. But we want you to be our guide on this great adventure you call life. We don't want to go anymore into this humdrum, mundane, ordinary things. And I know each adventure for each of us is different, Father God. And what excites us is different. But let us have a hunger and a passion to follow hard after you. To seek your face, to find out what it is that we have a passion about from you. God, I just want them to know you, not only as Savior and Lord and Master, but also their guide, their leader that's walking through this life with them. Ooh, Jesus. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for opening up your word today, God. Whew. And today, you may know him as Savior, but what's keeping you from going all in with him? Is there something keeping you going from all in with him? Is there something holding you back? Is there a relationship that you need to stop so you can go all in with him? Is there a behavior that you need to stop that so you can go all in with him? Is there anything that is keeping you from going all in with God and on this continuous road? Is there anything holding you back from saying, Jesus, I am all in? Jesus, if there is anything, give us the strength to give it up. Give us the strength to turn from that right now in the name of Jesus. Give us the strength to turn to you, Lord, and say, Jesus, I am all in. I am all in. I am all in with you. Because I want to go on this great adventure with you, Father God. I know there's more to life than what I'm just living. And I may live an exciting life. I may live an exciting life, but it is not as exciting as a life spent with you. There is more excitement in what would seem the most boring things with God than the most exciting things without him. God, help us be all in with you so we can know who the guide is, know his face, know his voice, know where he's guiding us is good and awesome and amazing. Mm-hmm. God, show us who we are. And give us a passion to go and tell the world, just like these two guys did when their passion was revealed and they went and told the disciples in Jerusalem. These guys got up in the night and walked that 7 miles back to Jerusalem to tell somebody. Is there something that passionate inside you now about Jesus that would wake you up in the middle of the night to walk that many miles to go tell them about him? That's a passion. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.